This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. What are you doing?
True story.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Are you still hunting for a Ducks Beavers point spread for
that
tomorrow?
That doesn't exist. I've given up. You cannot. They don't have it on DraftKings. They don't have it on my offshore book.
I don't think
it doesn't exist.
With college basketball, I don't think they put them out till the day of.
Are they worried about the nefarious whatevies?
I don't know why they do that. Probably because there's just so many games each night that they,
I guess,
you know.
I just couldn't believe I couldn't find that spread anywhere. I was actually debating whether or not to, I may be forced to do something that I don't want to do. There's two things that I hate in this world. One, Audi of Bellevue, and two, Fanatics. And I may have to break down and order something from Fanatics, and I don't
Why?
Want to. Because they've cornered the market. You can buy a car from somewhere other than that horse crap dealership that I hope a meteor hits. But Fanatics has cornered the market in that if Army-Navy every year, Nike and Under Armour release special uniforms for the Army-Navy game. And it gets my money damn near every year. And Fanatics is the official, like, I cannot order anything from Army or Navy, even if you go directly to their website, like the Navy website, it redirects you to Fanatics.
Freaking government.
Those sons of bitches. They've infiltrated everything. Fanatics is like, they're going to have a place at the new czar. They're going to be the czar of sporting goods.
Maybe it's Putin.
And like the uniforms they released this year, Army's came out like 2 days ago, and they're freaking phenomenal.
Are those the black ones?
Yeah, the black ones. They came out with the Battle of the Bulge ones, and then Navy Whoa. Came out with theirs today, and they're actually better than Army's. And I'm like, oh. And yet, I've been trying to find somewhere I can buy them other than Fanatics, and it's not working. I may have to break down and order something from
that
garbage-ass company that is Fanatics.
Your plight.
It's tough, man.
It's tough.
It's tough to have principles in this world, but I'm about to break them.
Coming up next, for the first time ever, an NFL segment. Well, not, I mean.
We've never done an NFL segment?
No, that was
wow. First
poorly
time
worked.
Ever. I can't believe it.
The segment is titled, For the First Time Ever.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I feel like we've talked about the NFL, but maybe we haven't. Maybe I've been asleep this whole time.
Something that is occurring that has never happened in the NFL. A couple of texts, Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We're talking about the Dan Lanning effect, and it's getting to be a little much, and it's yes. only going to get worse as they get into bigger games here, Big Ten championship game and in the playoff. Somebody asked, I want to know what would have happened had Oregon been up 40 to start the fourth. Do they look like asshats for jumping around?
I mean, do they look like asshats for jumping around to shout when they're up by 40?
Why?
I mean, Here's the thing. I think Wisconsin would look like more like a bunch of asshats losing by 40 and then getting excited about jump around. Who was it? There was an NFL game I was watching this weekend, and someone was getting their teeth kicked in, and they scored a touchdown, and the receiver did the receiver had a celebration.
Was it the Jags?
I saw that. They were down like 21 or something like that.
I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, man. But yeah, I saw that too.
Like, you literally are you're getting run off the field, but good thing you've got your celebration lined up. Like, you look more like an ass. I think Wisconsin would look more like an ass for doing jump around down by 40.
Well, they always do. I mean, they do it every game.
I know.
But a lot of people are texting in, several are texting in that Wisconsin's opponents mm-hmm. have been jumping around to jump around
yeah.
for years.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, if you look up, and I did when the Lanning Jesus stuff started happening, I just Googled, have other teams done jump around? And they're like, yeah. If there's a close game, it seems like a lot of teams embrace the jump around. But did they weaponize it the way Dan Lanning
but
did?
But did they get a 4th-and-9 conversion right out of jumping around?
That's probably reason why everyone's losing their ass.
And Deal is in. He says, can't wait until they play in Iowa and Lanning cures the disease of one of the kids in the children's hospital.
Goes up and has a leap of faith moment. He's got the kid's on crutches or whatever in the wheelchair, and he stands up and throws him to a side and is like, I got this. Starts doing shout.
Another text says, Lanning is a good balance. I think he is a player's guy, but also can be a hard ass. He is Pete Carroll with sternness.
Hmm. Well, again, I'm going to. Pete Carroll is one of the greatest college coaches of all time, so I'm going to go ahead and just...
But he didn't have sternness.
I'm going to go ahead and put a pin in that. And that's the sort of stuff that drives people crazy.
Well, I think he's just talking about personality, yeah. you know. Yeah. As good as Chip Kelly was at Oregon, they didn't seem great at situational football. They rarely got into games when it mattered, but it certainly... But it certainly showed up when they did get in close games. I think Lanning seems to take the pressure off of them.
Well, he certainly doesn't. He's got big balls, from fakes to going forward on fourth down.
Wait a minute.
What?
That was Chip's nickname.
Well,
Big Balls Chip.
I'm sorry. Chip's got.
Yeah, please, Dr.
Who's
Onions.
Got bigger balls?
We're changing that.
Big Balls Chip or Dr. Onions Lanning? Balls jiggling?
It's Dr. Onions. No offense to Chip, but Chip's gone from medium balls to now we've got Iron Balls McGinty out here, Dan Lanning. Because he's just. I've yet to see the situation where that guy won't do something that you look at and you're like, what the hell was that? Good or bad? And the other thing I do respect about Lanning is he owns it. Like, when it doesn't go his way, and it hasn't a bunch, he just is like, oh, like, I believed in my guys.
When that fake field goal didn't work,
yeah.
they instantly panned to him,
yeah.
and you could see it yeah. in his face like, that yeah, he's like,
here we go again.
I'm going to take heat for that one.
You know, he kind of reminds me of is Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just always motivating, yes. always positive, yeah. and just always going for it.
And there is and that's what they're saying when the whole Dan Lanning to the NFL thing, that's what they were saying is the NFL is the definition of a copycat league, and there are going to be the copycats of Dan Campbell right now. Dan Campbell has built what it really isn't an argument right now. They're the best team in the NFL. Whether or not they win the Super Bowl, I don't know. But it's the best team in the NFL right now, period. And people are going to want to find the next Dan Campbell. And it's funny you mention that, because that's why Lanning's name gets brought up, is they view him in that Dan Campbell sort of mode. And also, when you look around the NFL at some of the guys that are having success right now, it really is culture builders. You know, for a long time, it was, you just needed someone that Sean McVay farted on, right? If you got pink eye from Sean McVay, you were going to get a head coaching job, because we wanted someone that could really build and craft an offense. And you look at some of the guys right now, from Sean McDermott, certainly Mike Tomlin, Harbaugh, by the way, both Harbaughs, and now you throw Dan Campbell in there. I think there is a little bit of a shift to where we want culture builders. That, yes, it's nice to have a Matt LaFleur. It's nice to have a Kyle Shanahan. Those guys can be hard to find. For every one of those, you know, you get a, I guess that's not true, because, I mean, Sirianni's actually won a bunch of games. But you know what I mean? You get the offensive bright mind that flames out in 2 seconds.
Like a McDaniels or something
like
that?
Yeah. And so I think there is an idea of the culture builder. It wouldn't shock me if the Rizzler down in New Orleans ends up getting that job, because he seems like that culture builder guy. And I could see where an NFL team,
quite frankly,
looks at Dan Lanning and just simply says, I don't care that it's two different games. I want that. I want a culture builder, and Lanning seems like a culture builder.
All right. Up next, for the first time ever,
we talk about the NFL.
On the van.
Excuse me.
Look, I'm not going to lie, it's one of my new favorite things. Rapping. Yeah, and look, we're just experimenting here. I know it always doesn't sound the best, but sometimes he, you know.
Rob goes into his beats lab, and they're not all bangers.
That's right. You know. That's right. But it's fun.
Hey, when Bohemian Rhapsody was getting worked out, everyone thought Freddie Mercury was crazy.
Correct. So now to the NFL, the National Football League. I tease this by saying for the first time ever. And there is something that has occurred for the first time ever. Ooh. Ever.
Ooh.
Why did I yell that?
I don't know.
Because I'm excited.
You are very excited. I'm trying to think of.
I think I saw this.
I pay a lot of attention to the NFL and I'm trying to.
You just talked about it.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
I talked about Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. What did Dan Campbell do? I love Dan Campbell.
The Lions are favored to win the Super Bowl. It has never happened. Until now.
My fighting Dan Campbells, the Motor City Kitties.
Here are the odds. You want the odds?
Yeah. Because it really, at this point, it is really not an argument. When you look at the totality of it, they are the best team in the NFL. They just are.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter who's the best team in week 11.
Exactly.
Bro.
No, it doesn't.
But that has led the Lions to be the favorite for the first time in their franchise history. They are plus 320, meaning you would have to bet $100. If you bet $100, you would win $320. Second is still Kansas City at plus 450. Mm. Buffalo plus 650. Philly plus 700. And the Ravens are plus 900. Mm. That might get my money, even though their defense is kind of a mess right now.
Yeah,
I feel like they can shore that up.
It terrifies me.
And then it's a big drop off after that.
The only hesitation I have about the Lions, and I talked about this, was it last week? When did they have, no, that was 2 weeks ago that they had the five picks. Last week was the Jaguars just beat
down. 52. Did you see that they outgained Jacksonville by 475 yards?
That seems like a lot.
How Doug Peterson still has a job is amazing.
He's a lame duck.
Well, clearly, but I mean, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Like, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
Everyone knows that entire organization from Balky to that whole thing is going to get cleaned up.
Excuse me.
And dare I say,
there's Balky. By the way, can we not gloss over that? That is Trent Baalke's finest sports moment right there.
Ever.
Excuse me.
Well, he needs to be gone too.
So good.
Fire everyone. And This is going to kind of maybe sound weird because Jacksonville is such a dumpster fire right now. If you're going to talk about the jobs that are about to be open, because you got by the way, are you seeing all the details now on the Woody Johnson stuff?
Yeah, he wanted to bench Rodgers.
Well, there's like eight of those things that have happened. They said that when he got fired, all the reporters were like, dude, more to come out. The Athletic article just, it's such a bad beat. But Jets are going to be open. Well, the Jets are open, right? Who else is?
Well, the Bears will be, probably.
Bears will be. Jags will be. I'm trying to think of who else. Cincinnati, or not Cincinnati, but Cleveland could be open. I mean, there could be as many as
Dallas.
I mean, there could be Raiders could be open. There's going to be anywhere from six to eight of these. There usually is. And I think you can make a strong argument that Jacksonville is one of the top two available jobs.
Why?
I think if Chicago comes open, I still lean towards Chicago as being the best. But
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Just talent on the roster, you mean?
Talent on the roster. I just think you've got some young core pieces there, and it's not an older team. And I think in a short period of time with the right additions, I think Jacksonville. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Jacksonville was a playoff team. And we've seen some regression on the part of obviously Trevor Lawrence. I think some of that has to do with the circumstances around him. But there is some building blocks there. You've got some young talent on both sides of the ball. You need to rebuild the old line a little bit. I just don't think that is three, four years away. I think you are one good draft and one good free agency period away from actually. And as long as you can fix Trevor Lawrence, and there's a lot to like about that, right? Lawrence hasn't proved that he's an elite guy, but you look around the league and the jobs that are kind of open, I mean, you by far feel better about jumping in with Trevor Lawrence than you do anyone else. Chicago, I think you feel good about Caleb Williams, but if you said right now, who do you feel better about? I'll take Trevor Lawrence. Caleb Williams has shown me nothing other than he had a nice four-game sample there. And I think Chicago is kind of built on old talent, and that scares me a little bit. Those are probably the two best jobs with when those jobs become available. But back to my point of the one thing that scares me about Detroit, as good as they are, and like I said, I don't think they have a lot of weaknesses, but you saw this when they played Houston. When you look at the other contenders, so if we're going to take who's legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
Well, I just listed them.
Exactly, right?
Philly, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo. After that, you'd get to Pittsburgh, San Francisco, maybe if you still believe in them.
What is the one, and that's, you're stretching it.
Maybe Green Bay.
But if we're taking the favorites, Detroit, Philly, Kansas City,
Buffalo, Baltimore,
and Baltimore. What are they? What is the biggest difference when you look at, and I'll just tell you, quarterback play. What is the biggest difference between Detroit and every one of those teams?
Well,
Detroit's the only one that has this, and it's not, I don't think it's a strength, it's a weakness.
Immobile quarterback.
They have an immobile quarterback. Yeah. And what Houston was able to do, because Detroit has the best O-line in football. But I don't care how good your O-line is, sometimes you get heated up, and Houston can get after it. And they made Jared Goff very, very uncomfortable.
Who?
Jared Goff. And we've seen it over the course of his career, and this is true about most pocket quarterbacks. When you can get into their lap and get them off rhythm, it's problematic that he cannot extend plays.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that scares me about the Lions.
Can I offer another thing?
Yeah, go for it.
Didn't they lose another linebacker last week?
Yeah, they lost him, but not for the year.
I thought he was out for the year.
No, I think they said like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think their defensive injuries, you know, you can only lose so many guys.
Yeah.
Hutchinson's gone. Yeah. Another linebacker is gone. One of their DBs, too. That's going to catch up to him.
Yeah, it's possible. But like the Bills have been doing this. I mean, this is why I really like Detroit. Is Detroit is not built on one or two players. Like Baltimore is a little top heavy. There's a lot of teams, like the Buffalo is kind of top heavy. But I think Detroit is by far the most complete team that, you know, when Hutchinson goes down, it really didn't have a huge effect. Now they went out and made an addition. They went and got Smith. They got Za'Darius Smith to come along, but they have just been great at kind of plug and play. And they've got guys that it's a system that is predicated on next man up. And there's not a position where I think that they are thin at, including linebacker and on the defense. And I think they're very, very well schemed and sound. And that's just the only thing that scares me about Detroit. And they were there last year, should have been there. So I think they've taken their lumps. That's the only thing that scares me is if the O-line doesn't hold up and you find a team like Kansas City, they can heat you up and get exotic with some of the pressures, or Pittsburgh or whatever. That's the one thing they have is that they don't have a quarterback like all those others that can get first downs with their legs. I mean, how did Buffalo close out that game? It was a 20-yard scramble on the part of Josh Allen. And every one of those guys can do it except for Detroit.
So they've got some pretty good games left. Detroit, they still play, obviously, Green Bay and Minnesota once each. And then they also play Buffalo and San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. To see how that goes. And I also want to see Anthony Richardson this week, who, you know, after 1 week, people are like, oh, Anthony Richardson's back. Oh, we'll see what happens against the Lions D. But you're right. The Packers, Bills, Bears, Niners, Vikings. It's a nice little slice there to finish the season.
So you could have gotten the Lions at plus 1,200 at the start of the year, meaning you bet 100, you win 1,200.
Yeah.
Now you can only get him at plus 320.
Yeah. Well,
who beat them?
Who did the Lions lose to? They lost to...
Go.
Give me a second.
No, I'm not going to give you a second. You lose in my game of life.
I don't lose. They lost to... It wasn't even a really good team. They lost to Baker. They lost to Baker. What? They lost to Baker Mayfield. Was that week four? Three?
Yeah, but I can't pay you the money that you won for that.
That'd take too long. No, I'm not going to give you no cookie. What week was it?
I think week two.
Yeah, it was early on.
Two or three.
Yeah.
20-16 was the final score of that game. Hmm. And I want to say, it was really bad weather, but I can't remember.
We'll see. Interested to see.
Yeah, that. Well, no, I don't know.
No, yeah, here's
sucker.
Jared Goff, 34-55.
Who?
307. Jared Goff.
Golf. Golf.
No touchdowns, two picks.
Yeah, I think it was like raining a lot.
Well, and that was at the start of the year too, and I was a little concerned. The Lions offense took a little time. It did not come out super smooth at the beginning of this year. They had some rough spots. And then about week four or five, they hit their stride. I remember they bludgeoned the Cowboys, they bludgeoned the Seahawks, and it's just been, you know, it's been full go ever since. With the exception of that five picks, they still found a way to win.
Hey, coming up next on In the News, Portland's latest hotspot. Here's Buck.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on? It is November 20, 2024. It's time for In the News! I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. Please be seated, all of you. And if you're driving, honk your horn.
Flash the lights.
This is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is World Children's Day.
Go, kids.
And it is National Absurdity Day.
Is it absurd that the kids have a day? Like, do we need a day for Dawn or kids? I
mean, no, kids get enough.
Right?
We do everything for our kids.
Feels like it. Unless you got one of the bad sets of parents.
I remember being a kid and asking my parents, either on Mother's Day or Father's Day, why there wasn't a kids' day. And they looked at me, they're like, every freaking day is kids' day, except for these two.
Hell yeah. You spoiled little ass head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good to be a kid for the most part. You have any bills?
I will look to abolish Children's Day.
That's part of your platform.
I could get some votes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Portland's newest hotspot is open.
Ooh, talk to me. Talk to me. Where do I need to be?
It is an open-air fentanyl market.
All right. You know, I've been really just kind of going with a closed air fentanyl. Like, you know, a lot of like flop houses and things like that. But I'd like to expand my fentanyl to maybe under some bridges or, you know, maybe a nice park.
As a matter of fact, the Portland Clinic, which is the oldest healthcare clinic in downtown Portland, it's been open for 104 years at that location.
Is it really?
Had to close.
Oh.
Because right outside is this new hotspot, this new pop-up open-air fentanyl market where you vendors set up.
Is there like a sign and like a kiosk or how does that?
They set up little tables.
And where's the closed air fentanyl market?
Some pop-up tents.
I can't tell you. We'll talk off the air. I know where
underground kind of a thing.
I know where to go. Don't worry about it.
Although they said Portland Clinic's administrative services will remain open, but they said there's like a million people out there every night with foils, drugs everywhere. Mm. Every night there's a few fights. Someone threatening to pull a gun.
Well, I would assume so. Doesn't that go hand in hand? Like, if you show up at an open air fentanyl market, isn't that kind of half the reason you go? A little excitement.
I think it's so funny. That quote comes from a woman named Ayla. Excuse me, A-Y-L-A.
Sure.
She's homeless, but she claims she tries to do her drugs in private.
Ah.
And she's not. No. She is not a fan of the open air clinic.
I love when they interview drug addicts and homeless people for these sorts of things, and they
girl,
try to put
you something else.
Not me.
They try to put reasonable spins right on the most absurd things. You know, I'm like, do my fentanyl in private.
It's like the stripper who's just putting herself through college.
Hey, heart of gold, man. Heart of gold. Single moms.
Portland's cleanup crews have conducted 37 campsite assessments and removed 18 sites in the area around the clinic. My God.
That's a lot. Well, I mean, you want to be, it's like people that, like, prime real estate, you want to, like, live where you work, like, close to it. Well, it's probably, you know, if I'm a homeless person, don't I want to set up shop where I get my fentanyl? Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to have
you
to.
You don't want to commute.
No. I mean, I got a busy fentanyl sort of day. And once I take the fentanyl,
you have a lot of things to do.
Exactly. I got to scrounge and find copper wire, and I got to go on quests.
That's right.
You know, it's, I don't really have time to commute.
So they're saying that basically what's happening is people are gathering outside of there, and they're waiting for the dealers to show up. So there's like a bunch of people just sitting there scratching their faces, waiting for, you know, Johnny Fentanyl to roll up in his Beamer.
Well, there is a, I've said the, I haven't been down there in a while because I don't ride my bike when the weather gets bad, but the neighborhood that I ride through in order to get to the gym on my bicycle, I've said there's a guy that comes by in a ice cream truck, and he's not selling ice cream. And I really do think it's one of the more ingenious, like, things that I've seen.
Yeah, take the drugs to the people.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, though, as the police,
it'd be
easy to spot the guy.
I know. They don't care.
No. But he did. He's in an old ice cream truck, and he just goes through this, and everyone shows up, and I'm like, they're not getting an Astro Pop.
That was kind of a notorious thing in the East Bay area. There was a guy who was an actual ice cream truck driver by day, but then when you heard the music around 11 o'clock at night, the parents would come out.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how it went.
God, I love this world.
Yeah. And it's one of, like, the three-wheeler type, right? So it's, and it's got, like, the cooler on the back, and he, you know, he's, he delivers all the good stuff God, to all the wonderful people of that. Is it like the Summerview Apartments, I think they are?
If I am a business owner down there, yeah. I am so effing livid. Yeah. So livid.
Although, to be fair, I think the only businesses right there, there's like a...
Well, Portland Clinic.
Oh, no, the one I'm talking about, like by me. Oh. There's an Asian massage parlor and like a bar that I'm pretty certain doesn't mind. Although the Barnes & Noble across the street from it, they can't be happy. Because they're always... There's always interesting things happening in that Barnes & Noble parking lot, and I don't think it involves books. That's probably pretty frustrating. Like, if you're actually trying to run a real business there.
Unbelievable.
Like, well, the Walmart went out of business there.
Yeah.
There was a Walmart right there, and they're like, yeah, we're
shutting her down.
We're done with this.
Can't handle you people.
No. I mean, you just...
Get no support?
No.
It's sad.
No,
it's ridiculous.
It's rough. It's really, really bad over there.
Shouldn't be that way.
You wouldn't think so because it seems so out in the open, but I mean, I guess there's only so many resources, and what do you do? I mean, I...
No, what? Come on. Come on.
Yeah,
I... Can't be that hard. For the blatant stuff, you know, like for this, I get it, it's a complex issue, but not when it gets to this level.
Yeah, you would think that the ice cream truck guy would be the world's easiest arrest. Like, he can probably only go like 11 miles an hour. It's like, you're going to get a real Starsky and Hutch pursuit? Hint, hint, that guy's got the drugs. Arrest him. But then I guess if you do that, someone else just comes along.
But again, I'm talking about this one downtown here, Portland. It's like they're lining up waiting for the fentanyl guy.
Yeah.
It's like straight out of Portlandia.
Yeah. It is crazy how just out in the open and like, you know, like, remember that guy opened the mushroom shop on Burnside?
Yeah. Before, well, that's kind of...
It's illegal. I don't care.
It's illegal. Yeah, in no way was that legal. And yet the guy
like,
actually...
Try and stop me. They're like, well, it'll take a couple weeks, but we will.
Yeah. He literally put a sign up on Burnside, right by, like, the soccer stadium. It was like, hey, buy your mushrooms here. And the best is they did a news story on it where they contacted the police, and the police were like, we're aware. And was it like 2 or 3 days later, they Van Damme the front door, and the guy's like, oh, can't believe this is happening.
Primetime Longview. remember the mysterious odor that wafted through Portland?
That I thought was just Longview because it's Longview. Turns out it wasn't.
September 25th was the date. The unknown smell described akin to sulfur, natural gas, or burning garbage. Widely reported, but everyone was stumped. No one knew what the hell was going on up there.
I wasn't stumped. It's Longview.
There were plenty of theories. No clear origin at the time. Well, now the Washington Department of Ecology, and I'm guessing this was their Super Bowl, they say they have found the source, or at least the most likely source.
Venting.
And it's the West Rock Paper Mill in Longview.
Yeah.
They said it found that West Rock vented a gas stream containing odor-causing chemicals on September 24th, and that this action likely caused an increase in odors in Longview.
Well, if you've ever grown up in the Vancouver area, it's not open anymore, but the Camas, the fine city of Camas, they had a paper mill.
Yeah.
And when that thing was operational, that was the running joke. Who farted? Oh, Camas farted. Because that's what it smelled like. So it would make sense that that was the funky smell coming from...
When did they shut that down?
Years ago. Once Camas became a rich place. When all the richies moved there, you know what the rich people don't want? Their town smelling like farts.
What if that happened in Lake O?
Yeah, that wouldn't fly.
The lake starts smelling like farts.
Wouldn't it be great if some just dude won the lottery with like $1 billion and he just moved a small paper mill into Lake O just to piss everyone off with his fart smells.
Excuse me.
It's like, why are you opening it here? Spite. Yeah, I just want the rich place to smell.
They ain't allowing that,
no,
dude.
No.
All right, holiday train news. Are they coming back? Next on The Fan.
Oh, I looked it up. I believe 2017, the plant officially went dark in Camas.
Well, there's a couple texters saying it didn't go dark, just the smelly portion.
Yeah, yeah. They portions of the mill shut down, so...
Why'd they shut down the smelly parts?
Probably because the people of Camas didn't want the smelly parts.
Well, then why'd they have the smelly parts in the first place?
Because you had to make paper.
Well, but if you're still making paper without the smelly parts, why did you have the smelly parts in the first place?
I think they found a different way to do it. I don't know.
Why didn't they do that in the first place?
Couldn't tell you.
Do I sound like a 5-year-old?
Probably.
Dad. Dad.
Dad.
Dad.
Dad.
Dad.
Dad.
Why?
Don't know.
Why?
But my whole life, Camas smelled like farts, and now it doesn't smell like farts.
Why?
And because a lot of rich people moved there.
Why?
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 I know you guys have been wondering where the holiday trains are in 2024.
I have been wondering. Where's the train to Christmastown when I need it?
It's coming. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's one of my all-time favorite fan commercials, is the train to Christmastown.
It's a magnificent little ditty.
I love that. Do we have that somewhere?
Probably.
Does it beat... Downy, rinse and refresh, it's a dream.
Yes, the train to Christmastown gets me in a holiday mood every time.
Well, the holiday trains are back, ladies and gentlemen. There are 6 of them in our area. Now, they're going to start a little later this year because Thanksgiving is a little later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that later week, you know?
Yes.
Which is kind of throwing us off.
I know, it's weird. I always thought it was like, I thought it should be this week, but it's not. It's like,
you should petition somebody.
Yeah. Someone at the Thanksgiving registry. This is ridiculous.
They're saying that the prices are going up, though.
Hmm?
A holiday.
On what?
What?
Prices on what?
The train rides.
Oh, the train. I thought you were talking about
focus.
I thought you were talking about Thanksgiving still. I was like, wait, are we talking about turkey prices, ham prices?
Prices everywhere are going
were
up.
Were you listening to the dude's
Obama.
Story?
It's ridiculous.
They're saying anywhere for a family of 4 this year will cost you anywhere from $78 to $416.
Yowzers.
Yeah, average price of a train ride for a family of 4 is $178.
It's tough.
Now you have the Chehalis Centralia Polar Express. Mm-hmm. They call that the Polar Express train.
Okay.
They're in Southwest Washington. 1-hour train ride.
Sure.
You get stories, gifts, singing chefs and treats.
1 hour, so yeah, they do the Polar Express, but they don't. I would think it would be long enough to play the Polar Express.
$64 a person, dude.
Boy, that's tough. But I do get the hot cocoa, and I get the stories, and I get the whimsy of holiday fun.
You have the Mount Hood Polar Express.
That's the one that
very popular
that I used to take my kids on.
That's 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You pay anywhere from $59 to $109 for adults and $50 to $100 for kids.
I wish I could remember because it's been 10, 15 years. I have no idea what I paid for my kids, but I remember it not being like, oh my God, this is brutal.
You can have the Holiday Express train ride, which is in Southeast Portland, 45 minutes along the Willamette. They let you buy hot cocoa and coffee.
Can I get fentanyl as I roll through
probably
that part of town? Just like, can they slow down while the fentanyl dealers come out to me?
Now, the fun part here is that Santa Claus himself will be on the train for photo ops.
Yeah, all right.
$34 for adults, $25 for kids.
Well, there's your bang for your buck right there. You don't gotta go down to Hood River.
You have the Candy Cane Express run by the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad, 1 hour train ride, Garibaldi to Rockaway Beach and back. That's a good one.
That is been if you live in the city, you gotta go out there. You make a whole day of it.
$35 to $44 for adults, a little less for kiddies.
Okay.
Then you have...
Well, there's your value. There's some value in that.
The Sumter Valley Christmas Trains, Eastern Oregon, way out there. And then you have the Chalachi Christmas Train running along the Lewis River from the station in North Clark County to Yakult.
Oh, there's one that runs through there?
Yeah.
Huh. I lived out there for years. I had no idea. Trust me, you don't want to go to Yakult.
Isn't it Yakult?
I know, but I always call it Yakult because it's a little...
$22.
Well, again, I feel like you may have to give me $22 to go out there, but, you know.
16 for kids.
Yeah. There's a little market there that sells a decent milkshake and chicken strips, though.
You know, I'm going to make one of these, and it's going to be a booze train.
Yeah,
What's missing.
At least from what I remember, the Hood River one that we went on.
No booze.
Yeah, there was no boozy woos. Well, it is a very family-friendly sort of thing. But you know what you can do?
Yesterday I struck a chord with you about, what was it that you got fired up about? Oh, father, you know, dads being dopes and whatever. One thing that strikes a chord with me is that somehow family-friendly cannot include alcohol. Yeah. Get out of here with that.
Unfortunately, sometimes you have to move as slow as your slowest person. And when you add booze to something, while it enjoy you, it will add to your holiday enjoyment.
You know what the biggest parental booze fest is? Do you know what it is?
Trick-or-treating, probably, right?
Well, that's one of them. But I'm talking about like that is normal, like an everyday thing.
What?
Kids sports.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they tailgate out.
Everyone's boozing.
Yeah.
I mean, now, of course, it's a little on the down low because you're not supposed to, but everybody does it.
So here's the one thing I think is at play for those. While I think it should be included for the parents on it, when you start including booze, it becomes a non-family thing.
Yeah.
You get singles and 20-somethings and people just going on the train to booze,
so what?
Man.
You can't have Will Ortner on there.
That's not the experience you're trying to cultivate.
Don't be so prejudiced, you ass.
I'm just saying that's part of the reason
they do
it. A
young couple that doesn't have kids may want to go on it, too.
Listen, pal, I don't make the policy. I'm just explaining to you.
Call me pal, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that.
The problem is you get the power drinking dad, and next thing you know, slapping someone. And
can we just handle
our booze? I think you don't want to attract the crowd of like 8 drunk idiot college kids. That's what I think is part of it.
Can we handle our booze a little better, please?
Dude, now
we can't.
Maybe we could rent a kid. You know, the kid, you know, the youngs
rent
come up.
Rent a kid?
Yeah, they'll give you a kid so it's family friendly. So people like you don't bitch.
That's awkward.
People like you with the...
Rent out my son to some drunk college kid?
Well, not your son, but...
If I came rolling up and said, I want to rent your kid?
No. We have them there at the...
How much for the women?
At the train station.
Yeah, there's a kid.
If you don't have a kid, people like Buckley got a cob up their ass, and they go, well, you can't be out here because, this is for kids.
Hold on. I'm
going to rent a kid.
I would love to have some booze on that train. I'm just telling you why they don't.
This
I'm not
like when
anti-booze.
I was,
oh, shut up.
This is like when I was at Disney World by myself.
Shut up.
You get a lot of flack. Had I had a kid with me, I don't think I would have gotten kicked out of that Star Wars bar. I'm with you on this one, Rob. There is a lot of prejudice when you show up without a kid. But you know what you can do is you can just bring the old flask, and then when you get your hot chocolate, you just make it your own hot chocolate.
Yeah, that's true. There's probably not.
No.
Intense security.
Probably not. You just add a little, you know, you just throw a little something in there.
I just don't think it should be that way. You know, Zoo Lights, and I don't know if they're doing it again this year, I got to check, but straight away, you know, the bottle cocktail.
Yeah.
Delicious bottle cocktails down there in Southeast Portland.
Yes.
They set up a shop at Zoo Lights.
Even better.
And now I think they do an event called Brew Lights that's actually like a beer fest at the
Zoo. Yeah, they do that. But I was for the longest time, I would refuse to go to Zoo Lights. I'm like, babe, they don't have booze there.
Yeah.
I'm not going there, but now they do.
I will say that it makes a lot, it makes a difference when you can get a cocktail at an event.
It changes the whole feel.
I always like going to the, I like Christmas music, and even the church hymns and whatnot, even though, you know, that I just like the music. The Grotto, to me, is a very nice holiday event. It would be nice if I could get a buzz on at the Grotto. Right? I
mean, no, see, at least the Grotto gets a pass because it's a religious endeavor.
Well, but why
but listen, you're preaching to the choir.
Go to a Catholic mass. They're handing out wine, right? You're telling me the Irish Catholic don't partake?
So if I set up a bar. Okay, so I want you to picture something.
I'm not sure I'd go as far as saying they're handing out wine. They have a little bit.
God, look at the cob. How far is the cob up your ass?
I think what's happening is Buckley's wife is texting him right now, being like, you better stand up for family friendliness. Buckley.
I want you to picture something. Okay, so you know when you go to McMenamin's Edgefield?
Yes.
And there's just these little nooks and cranny bars all over the place. Just a delightful place, right? Right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know of what you speak.
Okay. Picture that, but up in the garden of the grotto. Like when you go up the elevator and you're at the top of the grotto, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Let's put a couple little pop-up shops.
I like where we're going with
Sling
this.
You some cocktails.
Yes.
We'll keep it away from the kids.
I get it. Maybe when I'm going into the chapel to hear the music, maybe, you know, hey.
Well, not necessarily there.
Well, no, I'm saying finish it before you go in. You know, they're like, hey, we can't allow that
in.
You
can't get the booze until you go up the elevator to the top.
I like it. We hand out wristbands. That way it's out of the kids' hands. See?
And then you shove the kids over the edge.
I like where we're going with this. See, now you're thinking outside the box.
I should be mayor. Shove that straight up your little kid ass.
And we're trying to raise money for Jesus, right? You know what would raise more money?
Drunk people.
Booze.
Yeah.
That's right. Because in that gift shop at the very end there?
Yes.
With all the Jesus trinkets?
Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm not buying anything, but if you had some cocktails before, you know, you're going to get my cocktail money, and I don't know, maybe I get a St. Christopher, like a patron saint of travelers I roll through there.
That's right.
I would like the record to reflect, I am pro-booze always. I'm telling you why they don't do this.
You sound like
I'm
an ass.
You sound real suspicious right now. As
you sound
someone
like
points
a bump
out,
on a log.
Buck says, we need more speed bumps for this train.
Probably do.
Buck has a couple kids. Next thing you know, he's a bite in the ass over there.
Measure in the news, November 20, 2024, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5-5 coming up next. We've got the Cy Young winners and big news out of Ohio State camp. Well, it's not camp. I don't know, like the football team.
Practice. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right. That's next on The Fan.